You're listening to a Weeby Geeks Network podcast.
And welcome to another issue of Mighty Marvel Geeks. I'm your host, Mike. Ken's on assignment this week. So, lots of news to cover. Of course, our Mighty Marvel Geeks new comic book day picks of the week. Got some Easter eggs from Captain America, the Winter Soldier. Some news about what is Marvel hiding about Mark Ruffalo and the Hulk movies. Some news about Jack Kirby and his estate going for appeals with the Supreme Court, some Marvel gaming news, and some Avengers 2 news and more. So right off the get-go, let's with this fine 4th of July weekend, let's hit some Captain America Easter egg news with what did we miss in Captain America the Winter Soldier. The newfangled galaxy guardian upstarts might have snuck in and stole some of Captain America's Winter Soldier's thunder, but that doesn't mean it's time to leave the film be. While practically overflowing with hints, teases, and Easter eggs, most of which, admittedly, we've all geeked out over, one is still a mystery, which is a little peculiar, since it looks like, though, it might be teasing a hero that we might see in the near future. It goes a little something like this. Remember the scene where Agent Sitwell rambles on while being interrogated, delivering piles and piles of Easter eggy goodness? I'm sure y'all spotted the reference to Steven, aka Doc Strange, or Doctor Strange. The thing is, that wasn't the only hero Sitwell gave up some information on. He also happened to mention that they were having some trouble with a man from Cairo. Cairo, you say? That's pretty vague, right? I mean, there are millions of people from Cairo. And we are talking Cairo, Egypt. So, presumably, there must be hundreds of characters who trace their origins back to there in the Marvel Universe. No, it's pretty much just one. But who? Teasing a man from Cairo can only mean one thing in the Marvel Universe, and something tells me you Marvel fans out there already know this, and you're already ahead of me. There's only one dark, brooding thing that could be from Cairo, or a person from Cairo that could be an issue in Sitwell's mind. Moon Knight. That's right, I said it. Moon Knight. Often referred to as Marvel's Batman, Moon Knight is an ex-mercenary whose life was saved by the Egyptian moon god Khonshu in exchange for becoming his avatar for vengeance. Returning to the USA, he sets himself up as a millionaire entrepreneur in New York and becomes one of Marvel's darkest, most troubled anti-heroes. Could this all be a massive coincidence? The reference could be just a throwaway line from a screenwriter who thought Cairo was a cool place to mention. I mean, it's not though Marvel has any plans to bring as dark a hero as Moon Knight to the screen, right? No, wait, they totally do. Kevin Feige spoke about his desire to bring Moon Knight to the screen back in 2010 in an interview, which also included teases for Doctor Strange, Ant-Man, we know those two are coming, Iron Fist, Luke Cage, Jessica Jones, again coming Netflix, and the Marvel Cosmic Universe, all of whom we're about to see on screen, literally within the next year, which might mean that Moon Knight is set to appear among them. Either in one of the several upcoming Netflix series, which would be awesome to see, or in his own movie. So nicely played, Marvel, who wants to announce a superhero by coming out and telling everyone when you could just wait for us to work it out for ourselves. Definitely now ball is in our court. Moon Knight may or may not be on his way to a big or small screen near you sometime soon or ages away, but one can hope. So news out of the Avengers 2 camp, Avengers Age of Ultron, there's a secret role that Andy Serkis will be playing. We've known for some time that Andy Serkis, mocap actor extraordinaire, was playing a consulting role on Avengers 2, assisting both Mark Ruffalo and James Spader with their work on Hulk and Ultron. Recently, there were some rumblings, however, that Serkis himself had a part in the film. The actor told Variety magazine he was playing a role in Avengers 2, but wouldn't clarify when asked for specifics. I'm not at liberty to mention. Many of us were left wondering whether Serkis actually was starring in the film in some capacity, or whether his playing a role was meant to describe more of a behind-the-scenes contribution. Today we have some clarification via HitFlix, our friends over there, who report that Serkis will be playing an on-screen role in Avengers 2. When pressed for details, their sources said the nature of the role is meant to be a secret, but it won't be as any of the previously announced characters. So, Marvel throws us lemon secrets to make us make some lemonade speculation. We'll have to see what Serkis' role in the film is. I'm assuming it's not a very big one in terms of screen time. He was wrapped before the halfway point in production and off to begin work on Star Wars Episode 7 and to also be out on the promotion tour for Dawn of the Planet of the Apes. We've heard some characters that haven't been announced yet, but none would fit Serkis. It's unclear whether Serkis will be playing the mysterious role using motion capture technology. It could be that he has a brief cameo as a human actor. So, news there from Avengers 2. Now, I mentioned briefly there's been a lot of rumors about Mark Ruffalo and an independent Hulk film coming up. We've heard rumors that it might be Planet Hulk since early last year. But everyone from Joss Whedon to Mark Ruffalo have denied these claims. And here's the thing. They're right, sort of. There won't be a Planet Hulk movie. Well, sort of. But it's what Whedon, Ruffalo, and Marvel aren't telling you about the future of the Hulk in the Marvel Cinematic Universe that prove that there is some truth to the Planet Hulk rumors. Now, there's some Avengers 2 spoilers coming up. Ruffalo once again answered the Planet Hulk question when talking to MTV about the possibility of that film, saying, "I don't think (parentheses) Planet Hulk is the way to go yet. I think you need more Banner. The whole thing is just him as Hulk on a planet fighting other gladiators." A man who is familiar with the movie itself. So this is a good point. Part of what makes the Hulk work on screen as compared to the comics is the dynamic between Banner and his angry alter ego. And he's also being honest. There's no Planet Hulk movie being planned at Marvel. It's already been done with the comics, already been done with the animated. It just doesn't mean they can't borrow some of the elements of the storyline to bridge the gap between Avengers 2 and Avengers 3. One of the big questions we've had so far is how Marvel plans to introduce the Guardians of the Galaxy to our current Earthbound Avengers for their big battle against Thanos in Avengers 3. A hot rumor back around the time of Iron Man 3 was that Tony Stark would get a distress signal from space and use a new space armor to blast off. That scene never came into fruition, but now we're starting to get a clearer idea of the gap between the Avengers and their intergalactic partners might be bridged, or how they're going to be bridged. according to Drew McWeeny, I swear to you folks, that's his name, of HitFix, at the end of Avengers 2, Hulk is placed inside of an upgraded Quinjet and blasted off into space. As the rest of the Avengers grow concerned about Banner's ability to control the other guy, the flight is pre-programmed and he can't stop it. Does this sound familiar? If this is true, this is what sets up Planet Hulk. They launch Banner into space and try to get rid of him and the Hulk. He ends up freaking out, smashing up the spaceship, and of course it goes off course and ends up on this planet of gladiator creatures. Very Planet Hulk-esque. So, the current speculation, however, is that Guardians of the Galaxy 2 will serve as sort of a Planet Hulk movie, as the Planet Hulk crashes on is in the Guardian's orbit, and they've been tasked with stopping him, getting him back to Earth. This serves up both the game of a Guardian sequel, giving Hulk something to do in between Avengers movies, a la Black Widow, Nick Fury, and Captain America, the Winter Soldier, and gets the Guardians to Earth to assist the Avengers in defeating Thanos, a man that they will have some experience with after their first movie. So it seems like pieces are falling in place, and while we can't confirm any of the above details about Guardians 2 or the Hulk just yet, we have some more we expect to have some of those details, you know, maybe at San Diego Comic-Con or hopefully shortly after, as James Gunn, Guardians director, starts making the rounds. So with Guardians of the Galaxy is less than a month away, opening up in theaters August 1st. The folks over at Marvels.com has given us a breakdown of the Galaxy cast. The cast break down their characters. So I have that audio clip for you of that special featurette from the film. So we're going to check out Chris Pratt, Zoe Saldana, Dave the Animal Batista, Bradley Cooper, and Vin Diesel, as they dish on Rocket's anger issues, Peter Quill's mercenary nature, and more. So here's that clip.
They call themselves the Guardians of the Galaxy.
They're the thieves, the bounty hunters, and the neglected. It's not a typical superhero movie.
We all meet in prison and we end up bonding through a prison break.
Move to the watchtower!
That was a pretty good plan.
Peter Quill is the only human in this crazy world. He doesn't have, like, superhuman strength or the ability to fly, but he uses his cunning and his charm to get himself out of situations.
I come from a planet of outlaws. Billy the Kid, Bonnie and Clyde, John Stamos.
Sounds like a place which I would like to visit.
Drax is a warrior, but he's so funny.
Metaphors are going to go over his head.
Nothing goes over my head. My reflexes are too fast. I would catch it.
Gamora has a heart of gold.
Even though she's lethal and very, very rough.
Cool. Shit, I
don't learn. One of my issues.
Groot is one of the strangest and interesting characters Marvel has ever put on film.
I'm Groot.
Ain't no thing like me except me.
Rocket is a raccoon with real anger issues.
I live for the simple things. Like how much this is gonna hurt.
They come together to save the galaxy.
There's a lot of humor in this one. And a lot of heart.
Wow.
There's nothing like it, that's for sure.
Our world is facing an unstoppable threat. Send in the Guardians.
Oh. Yeah.
So it's interesting how all these ragtag group at a prison end up becoming Guardians of the Galaxy, or called themselves Guardians of the Galaxy. So I'm excited about this and looking forward to it. Now, interesting thing popping up in the U.S. Supreme Court here shortly. And it's said best by legend Neil Adams, "I would like to suggest to anyone in the media that they won't be wasting their time if they follow the Jack Kirby rights at the Supreme Court story a little bit more closely. And he's got a point. Currently, the case between Jack Kirby and Marvel Comics over the rights to X-Men, Hulk, Avengers, Fantastic Four, and more is under review by the Supreme Court. And this can have massive ramifications for the whole creative community in the U.S. regarding copyright law and the definition of work for hire. Imagine, say, the Supreme Court decides, based on the Jack Kirby case, that for all good and logical reasons, that there are only two forms of employment. One, employee, in which you and your work product belong to the company that hires you. And freelance contractor, in which you work for yourself and can and must transfer rights by contract. And there is no third condition, which strips freelancers of their right without an explicit agreement, yet gives them no privileges or rights of employees, such as tax withholding, workspace and tools, minimum wage protection, and time and a half overtime, a half payment to Social Security, and removing half from your weekly paycheck for your future retirement, unemployment insurance, disability benefits, medical insurance. Much of Kirby's work was done under the 1906 copyright law, under which only an employee could also do work made for hire, not a true freelancer. So Stan Lee's work by the company may be considered work for hire. Jack Kirby's work may not be. So not only could this case affect the rights, credit, and financial reimbursement owed to Jack Kirby, his just due to Kirby's family and estate, but also so many other comic book creators as well, and so many other creators in general. It could lead to a seismic shift regarding who owns what, and billions upon billions of dollars being spent writing what has to date been rather a one-sided operation. Hopefully this comes out on the plus side of Jack Kirby's work, and on his side. So I'm excited to see how this plays out as well. So we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back. This is Mighty Marvel Geeks on Sorcerer Radio.
Welcome to the new sound of Sorcerer Radio. Version 3.0.
Sorcerer Radio presents the Sorcerer Radio app version 3.0.
We have the technology.
Check out our brand new Sorcerer Radio app for all iDevices as well as Android devices.
Better, stronger, faster.
Streaming Disney music 24/7. App highlights include a new broadcast window that shows you what you're listening to and what's coming up next. Multitasking so you can listen to SR as well as perform other tasks on your iPhone.
Gorge!
Listener access to all of our daily shows. The new interface, a new buffered stream, auto reconnect when signal is lost, visual EQ, pause, rewind, and scrub features.
My goodness!
And the new SR info area. Get your virtual Disney World fix today with the new Sorcerer Radio app version 3.0 from Sorcerer Radio.
Be careful with that! It's extremely dangerous.
SRSounds.com.
Rebel Force Radio.
Your source for the Force.
Star Wars news and commentary.
With Jason Swank and Jimmy Mack.
I've seen Star Wars 500 times.
Weekly live shows and podcasts.
RFR.
Like Rebel Force Radio on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
Rebel Force Radio.
Your new source for the Force.
Rebel Force Radio. With Jason Swank and Jimmy Mack. Saturdays at 7 p.m. Eastern on Sorcerer Radio. SRSounds.com.
Chip and Company is your daily Disney fix for Disney news, park planning, giveaways, and so much more. Visit our friends from Chip and Company at chipandco.com to get you up to date on all things Disney.
a magic beyond anything you could ever imagine.
Meet the Magic is a site where you can find Disney sites, blogs, and fun new Disney friends. Learn how to save money or make your trip more magical.
Prepare to have your senses awakened.
Visit meetthemagic.com and follow her on Twitter at meetthemagic, a proud partner of Sorcerer Radio.
It's an adventure too magical to miss.
Can we go again?
Dan Barnes here, inviting you to take a ride with me on an all-new edition of E-Ticket Time. I'll be playing the best ride-through audio from all your favorite Walt Disney World attractions. No fast pass required here. Just tune in Mondays at 1 p.m. Eastern, only on Sorcerer Radio at srsounds.com.
I am a Jedi. Like my father before me.
Are you a fan of Disney, Star Wars, and Marvel? Well, look no further than JediMouseketeer.com. On this geeky fan site, you'll find the latest news, videos, information on movies, comics, and more. Check out JediMouseketeer.com and follow him on Twitter at JediMouseketeer, a proud partner of Sorcerer Radio.
Remember, the Force will be with you, always.
Getting ready for your next visit to Walt Disney World? Well, why not check out Disney Trip Tips Fridays at 1 p.m. on Sorcerer Radio at srsounds.com with me, Sandy Alexander. Disney favorites from the parks, resorts, movies, and TV, and the tips that the family and I have used on our many visits to Walt Disney World. And if you have any tips or photos you'd like to share, you can post them at the Disney Trip Tips Facebook page. You can even follow me on Twitter at Disney Trip Tips. Disney Trip Tips on Sorcerer Radio. All Disney music all day long. SR Sounds.
This is Joe Caramagna, writer and letterer at Marvel Comics, and you're listening to Mighty Marvel Geeks.
And welcome back to Mighty Marvel Geeks here on Sorcerer Radio. I'm your host, Mike, and like I said earlier, Ken's on assignment. Guardians of the Galaxy invade the Marvel Universe on Sunday once again. Spidey teams up with Guardians of the Galaxy once more. Guardians of the Galaxy are taking over the Marvel Universe on Disney XD with a special expanded 90-minute block with an all-new episode of Marvel's Ultimate Spider-Man at 9 a.m. Eastern tomorrow, July 6th, or podcast-wise, today, in just a few hours. Before Spidey's all-new adventure, though, they catch encore presentations of Marvel's Avengers Assemble, and Marvel's Ultimate Spider-Man as your favorite heroes team up with the Guardians, beginning at 8 o'clock. Of course, on the Marvel Universe on Disney XD. I have a clip from Sunday's show, so I'm going to play that for you right now.
What exactly are you doing here?
I can explain this, actually.
This is Nick Fury. We are under attack.
Chitauri! Must have found out what I did to their flower garden.
Alpha team, move in. Beta team, take the outside perimeter and shut the hole in our hull. And you kids better have a good explanation.
So that is a little tease of this Sunday's Marvel's Ultimate Spider-Man appearing at 9 o'clock on Sunday. Now, Disney Infinity. We discovered back in April that Disney Infinity 2.0 would be trading princesses and pirates for an epic cast of core Avengers. And then we learned at E3, the Entertainment Expo, Electronic Entertainment Expo, that there are six heroes that won't be busting bad guys by themselves. Spider-Man, Nick Fury, Iron Fist, Nova, Venom, will also get their own collectible figure, of course. It could be brought to life in the interactive world of Disney Infinity 2.0. More than that, more than just acting as spandex-clad sidekicks to the previously announced cast, although these additional characters get their own standalone playset, complete with an original story penned by Brian Michael Bendis. During a behind-closed-door demo, Avalanche Software's head honcho, John Blackburn teased an exclusive look at the Spidey starring content. The Spider-Man content playset comes packaged with the Webhead and Nova. Nick Fury, Iron Fist, and Venom can be unleashed in the game, but must be purchased separately. According to Blackburn, the playset storyline pits Spider-Man against some of the iconic villains who've hatched an expectantly evil plan. Green Goblin and Mysterio have teamed up and kidnapped Venom. They've taken some of his symbiote, cloned it, and are trying to wipe out S.H.I.E.L.D. once and for all. Facing an army of Venom wannabes might sound a bit daunting, but Marvel superheroes will give players plenty of tools to thwart the threat with web shooting style to spare. While the first Disney Infinity might have been pretty light on pulse quickening combat, the sequel significantly upped the ante. Blackburn says locomotion and combat are two focuses, allowing players to move and fight just as they expect from behind the feet and fists of Marvel's butt-kicking cast. His words, not mine. In addition to a seamlessly web-swinging and wall-crawling through Manhattan's cityscape, Spider-Man packs a varied arsenal of ranged and melee moves. Each superhero plays differently, though, displaying the character-specific powers, moves, skills, and abilities that define them. Iron Fist is one of the most fun characters in the game because his aerial kung fu, notes Blackburn, he could kick guys in the air. Characters all possess super moves as well, such as Nova's ability to clear the screen of baddies with anti-gravity powers. Of course, the game can be played as a co-op with a friend or a family member, and so you can bring two different characters to the fight, complementing what Blackburn promises to be a very deep combat experience. Is the character's new skill tree system, sporting over 40 slots of upgrades. This character customizing feature will allow fans to shape Spidey and his pals to their preferred playstyle, whether focusing on range combat, up close encounters, or acrobatics that make the Prince of Persia proud. Players can personalize their avatars for optimal pain bringing. On top of teaching Green Goblin, Mysterio, and their minions some manners from behind a Marvel superhero of your own making, Spidey's standalone adventure will improve upon previous playsets in a variety of ways. In addition to absorbing narrative supported by more story-driven cinematic scenes, fans will be treated to a much larger world, more destructible environments, plenty of pilotable vehicles, and lots of character cameos. Luke Cage made an appearance as a mission giver during the demo. Perhaps one of the coolest things of all, with the addition of the crossovers, while the first Disney Infinity didn't allow, Captain Jack Sparrow to play in Mr. Incredible's universe or vice versa, Marvel's superheroes bends that rule. Collecting 10 Iron Man tokens in the Spider-Man playset, for example, will allow you to bring Tony Stark's alter ego into the game for story-expanding character-specific missions that sees them interacting with White Tiger. With a new Spider-Man-themed playset and 5 fresh characters, that's 11 total for launch day. It's looking like both Armchair Avengers and longtime webheads will have plenty of day-saving to do when Disney Infinity Marvel Superheroes lands like a symbiote from space this fall. Now, for those of you who have been playing Marvel's Avengers Alliance, the smash hit game over on Facebook has been updated with a new chapter answering the question, who are the worthy? With a constant threat of incursions, always a foreboding presence, the old lines of loyalty between AIM and Hydra are eroded. Is Hydra planning to reabsorb AIM? In London, Baron Mordo and King search out for ancient relics in a private museum. As the Circle of Eight call out for the Moon Knight, Iron Fist goes to investigate it. To investigate if the Hellfire Club are controlling the Circle of Eight, but he is interrupted by the Dark Avengers. Back on the shores, ancient demonic forces begin sensing that the time has come to exploit the chaos and make the move on New York, with the Kingpin's taking over Magia. Meanwhile, lurking in the shadows, the Serpent stirs, selecting his worthy to take part in the destruction of Earth. So, go check out Marvel Avengers now over on Facebook or on your mobile device. So, being 4th of July weekend, of course, the most patriotic of the Marvel superheroes is Captain America. So Marvel has decided to celebrate Independence Day with the 20 most patriotic Captain America covers ever. The 4th of July has arrived, and that means it's time to celebrate all things American. In addition to shooting off fireworks or watching them at the Disney parks, catching candy at your hometown parade, firing up the grill, paying tribute to the Patriots in your family, or just watching the Nathan's National Hot Dog Eating Contest, Marvel has come up with the most patriotic comic covers featuring the most undeniably American superhero in the Marvel Universe, Captain America. From punching out Nazis to rallying the troops and carrying the flag high, no other do-gooder represents the ideals that our country was founded on and the values that we strive to maintain today. So here's what they say are the 20 most patriotic Captain America covers ever. Number one, Captain, and of course these are going to be in chronological order, Captain America Comics from 1941, number one from the 1941 series. The very first cover. And it has Cap punching out Hitler. Number two is Captain America from the 1968 series. Number 236. We see a Zeppelin in the background, Statue of Liberty, and Cap right there on the front. Number three, also from the 1968 series or timeline, is Captain America number 250. He's the people's choice, Captain America for president. It's sort of like the old campaign buttons. From the 1968 run, where it began in 68, Captain America number 267. Number 5 is Captain America number 284, again from the 1968 series. I'm not sure why this one was chosen as the most patriotic cover, but it just has Cap sitting on the edge of a rooftop at ledge, overlooking the city and underneath his the American flag. Number six, again, up until number nine, most of these are going to come from the 1968. Story continuity. Captain Marvel number 323. Very nice look. It's got the Avengers and other characters on the side, and it's got Cap in the middle with the stripes of the American flag behind him. Number 7 is number 383, again from the series that launched in 1968. Tannish tone in the background. It says it's a special triple-sized 50th anniversary issue with Captain America standing with the flag in one hand, shield in the other, standing proud and tall. Captain America number 444. You see the one of the memorials in the background and the shield at the steps. Actually, that one's a pretty nice image. Very, very bold. Number 9. Captain America number 454. Number 10 from the 1998 run, Captain America number 50. From the 2002 run, Captain America number 1. Number 12 is Captain America number 3. Again from the 2002 run. Number 13 from the 2002 run, Captain America number 5. Number 14, also from the 2002 run, Captain America number 6. This one's actually a beautiful cover, if I don't say so myself. It's Cap standing almost on top of a pedestal with the wings from the crest behind him with stripes radiating out. Number 15 is Captain America number 15 from the 2002 run. Number 16 is Captain America number 34 from the 2004 run. Number 17 from the Captain America 2008, from Captain America White, is the cover there. Number 18, Captain America from the 2004 run, number 45. Number 19 is Captain America 2004 from number 616. And number 20 coming in, last but not least, Captain America from the 2011 series, number 19. It's the final issue of Captain America. I believe this is all before the Marvel Now startup. You can find this on Marvel Comics website, marvel.com. And it's the article, Celebrate Independence Day with the 20 Most Patriotic Captain America Covers Ever. Here you could go and see what the cover's like. Now, it's that time. How can we not forget? And we won't forget. We bring to you... It is Mighty Marvel Geeks' new comic book day picks of the week and these are going to be for July 9th, 2014. First pick, Spider-Man 2099, issue number 1. This is writer is Peter David, cover artist is Simone Bianchi. An all-new series from the pages of The Amazing Spider-Man. The book you have been demanding for months finally hits the stands. Miguel O'Hara is Spider-Man in the year 2099, but he's currently stuck in the year 2014. He was stranded here by his father, who is the head of an evil corporation called Alchemax, in 2099. But in 2014, Alchemax has just been formed, and Miguel has a chance to stop his corruption before it starts. You think being a man out of time would make you a man without enemies, but Spider-Man 2099 is about to discover that he's not the only one hoping for a better tomorrow. One that might be ensured by the adjuster eliminating Miguel from the time stream altogether. Join comics legend and Spider-Man 2099 creator Peter David and breakthrough artist Will Sliney, Superior Spider-Man team-up artist, for the most adventure you'll find in a book this side of the 22nd century. Our number 2 pick of this week is number 4. Writer is Chris Claremont. Jamie McKelvey is the cover artist. The mastermind behind the attacks of Nightcrawler's loved ones is revealed. And when Nightcrawler calls upon his friends for backup, the fight comes to the Jean Grey School. But torn between two worlds, his family and the X-Men, who will Nightcrawler stand by? One thing's for sure, when the dust settles, one of the worlds will be changed forever. And that's Nightcrawler number 4. Number 3 pick for this week, Deadpool number 31, written by Brian Posehn. Preston uncovers a secret from Deadpool's past that needs immediate attention. But Deadpool and Dazzler are still fighting off Dracula's forces. Number four pick, also part of the original Sin story arc, just like Deadpool number 31, is Avengers number 32, 5,000 years into the future, Rogue Planet Redo. The mysterious origin of the Rogue Planet revealed. And the last pick for this month, or for this week, being July 9th, The Winter Soldier, The Bitter March, number 5. Writer is Rick Remender. The year is 1966. S.H.I.E.L.D. sends secret agent Ran Shin to collect two Nazi scientists from the key to winning the Cold War. But the Soviets want the scientists as well, and they have unleashed the most dangerous operative, the Winter Soldier, a.k.a. the brainwashed and presumed dead partner of Captain America, Bucky Barnes. His mission? Acquire the scientists by any means necessary, or kill them. The only obstacles in the Winter Soldier's way are an elite Hydra squad run by Chancellor Cassandra and Madam Worm, and his own returning memories. In this classic 60s style, high-octane spy pulp, told at the Cold War's peak, filled with intrigue, adventure, romance, and murder, with ramifications that will shatter relationships in the modern Marvel Universe. Witness the birth of the man who will one day destroy Captain America, the Iron Nail. Collecting, so that's the picks for the week. Other issues coming out. Oh, some significant notes. The 100th anniversary special, Spider-Man number 2. Deadly Hands of Kung Fu is one that Ken likes to pick as well. Original Sin number 5.1, which involves Thor and Loki in the tenth realm. 2 months to Die is the sub headline for Wolverine number 10. Of course, the Marvel Universe Avengers Assemble number 10 from Joe Caramagna. I believe it'll tie in episode number 10 of the series. So this other stuff. So just to recap our picks, The Winter Soldier, The Bitter March number 5. Avengers number 32, Deadpool number 31, Nightcrawler number 4, and Spider-Man 2099 number 1. So that wraps it up for this week. Thank you for joining us on this very patriotic weekend of our nation's birthday, July 4th. I hope y'all enjoyed the programming that was with the other shows earlier in the week for July 4th, you know, WDW Tiki Room, Sorcom Review, DW60, Disney Trip Tips. I'm sorry. Sorry, Sandy. Disney Trip Tips, E-Ticket Time, and if there's any other show I missed, I apologize. Oh, Rebel Force Radio as well, who's on before us here as part of Geek Out Saturday Night. So until next week, I wish everyone a happy 4th of July weekend. Hope it was a good, happy, robust, belly full stuffed, exciting weekend for y'all. Until next week, we'll be back again. This has been Mighty Marvel Geeks on Sorcerer Radio.
has been a Weeby Geeks production.